Well, good afternoon, everybody. I thought I'd just welcome you with an English accent, just so you know you were in England and I was in South Africa before I move off to my ordinary accent. But a very warm welcome to everybody here this afternoon. I want to just very especially welcome the people who, quite a few people who've come here from Purley Baptist Church to support Mark, the church that Mark has come from to us. So a very warm welcome to all of you, and a very warm welcome to others from neither of these churches who have come to support Mark this afternoon. Also welcome to all the Godston Baptist people that have come here and this afternoon to support our new minister. And just want to welcome Ben and Kevin, who've come to lead us in worship, and thanks to Di and Ali who are joining them. And also just want to extend a very warm welcome to the head of our Southeastern Baptist Association regional team, Reverend Stuart Davison, who's going to be doing most of the conducting of affairs this afternoon. And just so that you know the normal things we have to announce. If there's a fire, in the unlikely event there is, you go out the back door or through this door and out to the right. And then, of course, you might need to know where the ladies and gents are, and they are just through this door on the left-hand side. Okay? And I'm glad that most of you seem to find parking around here. You can be perhaps pleased, or maybe grateful, not so pleased, that the petrol station next door doesn't have any petrol. Because if it had, then you would have been in quite a jam here, because queues have been right down this road earlier this week. I saw an advert yesterday for a car, 1992 red car. The brakes are a little bit dicky, and it starts now and again. It's going for £20,000. You might think, well, that's a little bit inflated. Yes, it is. But it does have a full tank of petrol. So, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, thank you so much for being here. This is a very exciting day for us at Godston Baptist Church, where Mark Hum is going to be inducted. And we just rejoice in the Lord that he can be with us. And we would like to just give our sincere condolences to those of you at Purley Baptist Church who have lost Mark, but we rejoice in him coming here. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm just going to hand over to Ben and the band worship team just to lead us in some worship.
Great, thank you very much. So yes, I'm Ben. I first met Mark when I was kind of 12, and I my voice was kind of breaking, and I was leading worship, kind of out of tune, and now my voice is broken. You can judge the rest. And yeah, it's been really encouraging, I guess, for me personally to see Mark come here and kind of, I guess, kind of have this new chapter. I worked with him for a year as well, so I feel like I know you quite well, and it's a shame to see you go, but actually it's really exciting. Great, if you'd like to stand with us, and I'm just going to pray for us to start. Father, thank you that you are here. Thank you that you're in this building. Thank you that you're in this town. And Father, we ask that we get to know you better today, and we ask that through Mark and the people of Godston get to know you better also, Lord. Amen.
Great to see you all here this afternoon, especially those who have made the effort of coming through the rain and the floodwater to get here. And welcome to, of course, to Gemma and to Mark. who spend a lot of your time as a youth pastor. And they say about working with young people, you'll either stay young or it'll kill you. Well, you're still here, which is, I guess, quite a positive sign, really. I also understand that drumming and guitar are two of your loves, and you describe them as being helpful to your emotional state. I hope that applies to those around you as well. And you're into footballing. Now, I should say, Godstone can be a surprising place. I was standing here on one occasion talking to the young people and with my guitar, and I was asking what football clubs they supported. And I was saying Arsenal, Chelsea. No hands went up. Man United, nothing. And they started pointing to the person who was standing next to me. And on the bass guitar next to me was, of course, Julian Speroni, who was the goalkeeper at the time for Crystal Palace. So strange things. So strange things can happen here. It's always been an interesting place. It's in the Doomsday Book. And Queen Elizabeth I granted George Evelyn the monopoly for the manufacture of gunpowder. So this was the centre for gunpowder in this country. You know, with only a month to Guy Fawkes, you know, it's useful that you know that. And the stone that was quarried here, much of it was used in the building of Windsor Palace and the Tower of London. So you've come to a very interesting place. Your other interest, I gather, is kayaking. Now, kayaking, that, you know what Donald Trump calls two kayaks? Fake canoes. Okay. Enough. We have to get serious for a moment now, because this is a serious occasion. Yes, it's great to be together. It's great to worship God. But it has a very important and serious aspect to it. Because you, the members of Godstone Baptist Church, have called the Reverend Mark Hum to be your pastor. And believing this call to be of God, he has accepted. And he comes now to be inducted into this office. At this significant time in the life of both church and minister, I invite you all to renew your commitment to Christ and his church. And as together you share in God's mission of saving love for this world. But we're here because there's a story to tell. And we want to hear that story before we go any further. So I'm going to ask, first of all, that we hear how the church here came to call Mark. I'm not sure who's doing that. Yes. I should know. It's Chris.
Secretary of Godstone Baptist, so I've been asked just to run through the process that we've been through as a church to reach this point in time. So our journey began in January 2020 when our previous minister announced to the church that he sensed a calling into hospital chaplaincy, and in order to get a job in that, he needed experience. He asked the church whether he could be released for a day a week in order to work at the hospital. When COVID hit, huge demand at the hospital for him, so he ended up spending 3 days a week at the hospital and the other three at the church. What that meant for us as a church is that we were in the unusual position where we could actually sit down and prepare our church profile outside of a period of interregnum. So it sort of took the pressure off there being any rush in that. Now, we obviously weren't able to meet up as a group to discuss it and, you know, think about what our visions might be for the church. So everything was done via email, through questionnaires getting sent to and fro. But by December last year, we had a church profile that we were happy with, that we felt, you know, summed up who we were as a church and what our sort of hopes and visions were for the future of this church in Godstone. So we met with Stuart in early January this year, who ran through how the process would work. And the expectation seemed to be that it could take 12 to 18 months to reach a point where we would be welcoming a new minister to the church. Stuart sent through the first nominations later on that month in January. We met a couple of the candidates that were put before us, and for various reasons that didn't go further. So in March we received a second batch of nominations, and one profile jumped out at all of us, Mark Hum. And there was a few things in the profile that Mark sent to us. I don't know what you're laughing at. There was a few things in there that really jumped out at us. There was one line you put on there saying that you would love to lead a church that acts as a lighthouse to the community, and that also you wanted to lead a church that is committed to sound Bible teaching and preaching. And that just really chimed with what the feedback that we'd received in our questionnaires at the church had been, that yes, we wanted a minister that could lead a good Sunday service, provide good teaching, encourage us as a church, but we also wanted to be an effective people going out into the community and actually taking that message out into Godstone. We also loved the fact that you had a large family. They also won it for you. So I met with my fellow deacons, and very quickly we were like, yes, we want to meet with Mark. Chris, can you email him? We really want to talk to him. And then things went wrong at that stage. I sent off an email, and then I sat waiting really excitedly, because I sensed that Mark was the one that God had led to us. Anyway, I didn't get a reply that day, so I thought, he probably wants to talk to Gemma. Before he replies, he wants to talk to Gemma. He'll reply to me tomorrow. Next day, no reply. So I thought, oh, maybe he's working at Purley Baptist during the week. He'll reply on the weekend when he's at home. Anyway, the weekend came and went, and still there was nothing. A whole week went by, and I reached the point where I thought, he just doesn't want to come here. A little bit rude that he didn't acknowledge my email. But he doesn't want to come here. But I just knew that wasn't right, because I really, when I'd read his profile and spoken to a couple of our deacons who knew Mark from Purley, I think we all just knew that actually this was really exciting, that we thought Mark, you know, was the one. So I rang up Adrienne, who's one of my fellow deacons, the next morning, and I said, I don't know what to do. Mark hasn't replied. So she said, I'll just email him again. And I was like, oh, I don't want to pressure him if he doesn't want to come here. So she said, I'll text him, which I did do. And then immediately I got a reply from Mark saying, oh, I've been waiting to hear from you. And I think I'm right in saying that you'd had a conversation with Gemma the night before where you had said, I just don't think they want to speak to me. Anyway, we arranged to have a meeting, deacons and Mark. And I hope Mark agrees with me, but I think within a few minutes of the meeting, we all just had a strong sense that this man before us is the person that we've been praying for, praying that God would lead to us. So we had a great meeting. That was quickly followed by another meeting. Whereas this time we were able to meet up. We went on a little tour around the village, and then we had a nice afternoon tea at Adrienne's. And it was at those meetings that we arranged when Mark would come and do his preach with a peep, where we could introduce him to the church, but not in a way that they knew at that stage that he was sort of the possible candidate. A few weeks after his first preach, which was very well received, Mark came back, did his preach with a view. We were able at that stage to let the church know that this was the candidate we were bringing before the church. We had a Q&A session after, And then a few days later, we had a special church meeting where we took a vote as to whether, as a church, we wanted to invite Mark to be the new minister. And it was an amazing meeting, and it culminated in Mark having an overwhelming majority of people wanting to support you and invite you to be our new minister. So I rang Mark back that evening, and he accepted there and then, and it was just a great time for us as leaders after that. So I looked at my diary when I was preparing this, and the period between us first meeting Stuart in January and the church voting to invite Mark to be our minister was 5.5 months. Having been told it could be 12 to 18, it was 5.5. And we're just really grateful that this whole process was quick and was smooth, because the last year's been hard for us as a church, as it has been for others, with, you know, the church doors being closed. So it's just great that as we've been able to reopen the church, we've also been able to welcome a new minister here to lead us. We've had a few mishaps along the way. There was the time when Mark and I went for a little walk around the village, and I took Mark down to the manse, and Mark said, got a large family, is there somewhere where we can put a big dining table so that we can all sit around there for meals? I was led to believe that the manse was empty, so Mark and I, heads up against the window, and suddenly our old pastor's wife walks around the corner and is frozen to the spot with fear. And there was also the time where Stuart had said to us, look, it's really confidential. When Mark comes to preach with a peep the first time he comes, you mustn't let the church know, because he may not have told Purdy he's looking. You don't want to get back. So we had a highly confidential conversation about that after a service one Sunday, and we managed to record the whole thing on Zoom and send it around the church. To end, though, as part of preparing this, I just dug through some of the questionnaires that people had returned, where they had said to us, you know, this is the sort of minister that we would like at the church, because I thought it'd be interesting to see, actually, how did that pan out? Does Mark sort of fit the bill, as it were? One person in the church said, we want a minister with a young family who will fill the manse. And I think we've got a big tick on that one. Other common ones that came up was, we want someone approachable, someone friendly, someone compassionate, and someone who encourages us. And I think from what we know of you and how we've got to know you, I think you satisfy all those as well. So again, that's really encouraging for us. Someone said we wanted someone good looking. Yeah, so I'll let others judge on that one. But yeah, no, to end, I just want to say that, you know, personally, I'm thrilled. The church here in Godstone is thrilled that Mark's come to serve here as our new minister. He brings with him a passion and a conviction to lead this church as we seek to walk closer with Jesus. But he also brings with him a passion and a conviction to take the gospel message out into this community and to make Godstone Baptist Church, in Mark's words, a lighthouse to the community.
Well, thank you, Chris. And now, well, you've heard one side of the story, and since they're obviously now talking to each other, Mark.
Thank you. Well, Chris says he's not very good at standing up the front and speaking, but that was amazing. Thank you. That was brilliant. I feel like I've got a hard act to follow now with that. Just while I'm at the mic, thank you to everybody for coming. I'm really grateful for you being here today. So my calling here, from my perspective, when I became a newly accredited Baptist minister, I was given a one-year probation period. And in that time, I had to meet with Mr. Mike Thornton, who's here going to preach for us a bit later. And apparently we had met once before this, but I don't recall it. But for the whole of the time that we were under our pastoral supervision, it was all done on Zoom for a year and a bit. And my very first meeting with Mike, I said, well, this is my intention, to get accredited as a Baptist minister and then to carry on working as a youth minister. Because that is what I thought I was meant to do. And I remember Mike just going, okay. And now I look back at that okay, and I think, you know, he knew something different at that point. And throughout that period, obviously, COVID had begun and the lockdown and all of that, and everything changed. And it really began to feel, for me personally, like God was beginning to uproot me from Purley in a really strange way. It was a strange way, and I didn't actually like it at first. It, you know, it didn't feel right to the way it was happening, but that's sort of how it was happening. And that then coincided with me. There was a day where I sort of woke up and I just thought, I can leave Purley. And that sounds really sort of stark and quite harsh, but I just thought, I can leave. And it wasn't like I felt trapped or that I was desperate to leave, but it suddenly felt like this prompting of God saying, I've been uprooting you for a reason, and it's time now. So obviously spoke to Gemma, and she sort of had known that the time was coming anyway. And so then we began the process of sort of secretly looking for a church where I might be able to be minister of. And I was phoning up Phil, who was the regional minister for the London Baptist Association, saying, well, look, you know, the kids are all in school. We also need a fairly large house. I had all of these requirements, which I sort of thought that I'm really limited as to where we can go for those reasons. And Phil came back with a few things, and we looked at them, and they were just too far away for us to sort of keep the kids in school and do all of that as well. So kept looking. I've always felt bad. I felt like I was ringing him every week. Is there anything else out there? And nothing was sort of there. So we thought, okay. And then I was sent the list of churches. I was also looking online at the different churches that were looking for a minister. And we decided, sort of, well, let's not stick to the London region. We'll look a little bit further afield. And as we were looking through the southeastern list, we suddenly sort of, I think Gemma went, Godston. And I was like, Godston? That's well near. That isn't our only reason for coming. So, like you're doing these things, the first thing I did was checked out their website, which Andy, who's doing our sound, put together. And I have to say, as I started to read through the website, Godston had a values and their vision of, knowing, growing and going. And as I read those three words, I was like, I looked up at my pin board at my office in Purley at the time, and I had to know, to show, to grow, to go written on there, which I thought I'd come up with. And then I realised I didn't just come up with it. And as I read through the website, I was like, this church is talking my language. And I instantly thought, I need to meet here. And actually, bizarrely, Gemma and I, when we first started dating, we would come to Godston and have a cup of coffee at one of the cafes here. And so that was a bit strange as well. And so we had a little drive. We came here and sort of drove around again before I'd even sent my profile in. And then I really feel this one is good. So sent the profile off. And every day I checked my emails. I checked my work email and I checked my personal email every single day. And Gemma kept saying, have they emailed yet? And I was like, no, they still haven't emailed yet. And Chris is absolutely right. The day before he texted me, I said to Gemma, I think I just need to face facts. I'm not what Godston are looking for. And I then said, although, you know, I knew Ivan and Adrian a little bit. I thought Ivan would have at least contacted me to say, I'm sorry, Mark, you're just not what the church are looking for. But nothing. So when I got the text through from Chris the next day, I was straight on it. And just so relieved, really, that he took that leap to text me. And when we had our meeting, like Chris said, I, like the rest of the deacons, very within a few minutes thought, I like these people. This just feels very right. It almost felt a bit too right, where in this sort of economy of God, you shouldn't think like this. But I started to think, what's the catch here? You know, when's this going to suddenly unravel? And I'm going to think, I'm not sure. But it didn't. And we met. And I think one of the things I really remember about that meeting is they were able to mock me a little bit, because on my profile I'd written that administration wasn't one of my favourite things. It didn't get me up in the morning, surprisingly, and it didn't energise me, I think was the word I used. And Chris said, well, when we read that, we thought you hadn't replied to the email because you're really bad at administration. So that wasn't the reason, as I think we've made clear. And obviously, as time went on and I preached and sort of began to meet some of the people. Well, actually, I say began to meet. I didn't really meet anyone before I started here other than the deacons. And people used to say to me, what's the church like? And I went, I don't know. I've never been, because I had never been to the church. I had no idea what the worship was like or what the people were like, other really than the deacon and the squares that I'd seen on the Zoom meetings. But God's been really good, and you know, he gets all the glory for this, because he uprooted me for a reason, and the reason was Godston, because I needed to be here. I believe God has called myself, Gemma, I don't know if the kids would agree, but the whole family here, and we are pleased to be here. And yeah, I think I'll stop talking now.
Great, Mark. It's good that we've come to this point, this occasion, this day. And sometime I must talk to you. I was on Premier Radio recently speaking about a vision that I'd had about, that God had given me about lighthouses. So I must talk to you about that sometime. But we're now going to ask you some serious questions. All Christians are called to be disciples of Jesus Christ and to follow in his way. Mark, as a Christian minister, you are first a disciple of Christ. And so I ask you to affirm afresh your faith and trust in God, a faith which you've already confessed in baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Mark, you have been called to be the pastor of this church and congregation. Do you accept the charge from Christ to care for his people with all diligence and compassion? Will you care for the weak? Bring Christ's healing to the brokenhearted, lift up the downcast, and pray regularly for those committed to your care.
I will, God's Spirit empowering me.
Will you equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the work of Christ? Will you lead and enable God's people in their mission to the world, seeking Christ's kingdom, proclaiming the gospel in word and deed, and seeking to make Christ known in every way?
I will, the risen Christ inspiring me.
Will you make every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace? By your example, will you lead this church in all godly living and devotion to Christ, through prayer and the reading of Scripture? Will you be faithful in the leading of worship, in presiding at the table of the Lord, and in preaching the word of God?
In the name of God, who is the Father of all, the living word and the spirit of unity, I will.
Did you come to a conclusion about that bit? No, you can do it for me. Okay. Gemma. Sorry to wake you up. I have a question for you. You have heard the promises made by Mark today. Will you join in that commitment to Christ and his people, promising to support and encourage him in his ministry, in this church and community? Thank you. And now I have a question for those who are in leadership here, if you would like to stand. Do you believe you have been called by God to work together humbly and willingly in serving this church and community? Do you promise to honour and respect one another, doing nothing from vain conceit, but in humility regarding others as better than yourselves? And do you promise to work with the members of this church in its calling to seek the kingdom of God? And now can I ask the members of the church here at Godstone to stand, please? My sisters and brothers, a new chapter in the life of this church is opened today. I invite you now to renew your commitments to Christ and this church, to affirm again the vows of your baptism. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Saviour and Lord? Do you accept and welcome Mark as your minister and pastor? And do you promise to honour and support him with your love and prayers, working together with him in your shared calling to witness to Christ in this place? Paul the Apostle says you were bought with a price. Will you serve Jesus Christ as Lord, bearing witness to him and daily taking up your cross to follow him? And now may I invite the whole congregation to stand, please. As representatives of the wider church and community, will you offer your support at this new beginning in the life of church and minister? And will you join in praying for them all? Would you like to stay standing as we pray for Mark? And I'm going to invite the leaders now of the church here to come. And I think, have you invited the others?
Just the leaders.
Just the leaders. In that case, would you like to come and lay hands on him? Yeah.
I just want to mention before we pray, I just think that it'd be honouring to do so, that there's somebody missing here this afternoon, and that is a very special lady who was a deacon, not for very long. She and her husband have only been in this church for the last 18 months, and sadly, she passed away 3 weeks ago. And her name is Heather Dancy, and I just thought I'd mention that, just in honour of her, that she would have been standing here and laying hands on Mark today had she not gone to be with Jesus in glory.
Okay. If you'd like to come in, come in. And if any of you would like to pray, please do.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this joyous occasion, being able to be here to welcome Mark as our minister. And we just welcome him and his family. And Lord, we just pray for your blessing upon him, that you will protect him and his family, both physically and spiritually, as they seek to serve you in this community. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will come upon Mark afresh. That he will be filled again, Lord, with power, and he will be able to go out in amongst the community, Lord, with boldness, preaching your word and living out the Christian life. Lord, we just thank you again for him. Mm-hmm. We praise you, praise your name, O Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord God and Heavenly Father, we come before you to worship you this day, to acknowledge that you are above all things, and that you are the God of grace, the God of salvation, the God of compassion, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you that you brought Mark. Thank you that you've called him. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit to him. Thank you for his family. Thank you for this day. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're here present. We just glorify your name. And we just pray for this man, Lord, as Iris has said, that he would be anointed and filled by your Spirit, led by your Spirit. And Lord God, that through him, Lord God, through this your servant, we pray in Jesus' name that those characteristics of the living God would be seen in him, such that by his words and by his life and by his prayers, people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Mark, your namesake has spent 2,000 years sharing the story of Jesus across this world. So many millions of lives have been touched because of Mark and the gospel that he told. We pray for you that you too will be used in this place. We thank God that you have been used in Purley. We want to see the hand of God at work in you now, writing that gospel message into lives here across this town.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you. Father, we pray for Mark and for Gemma, for the family. We've said they're going to fill the manse. Well, Father, we want that manse to be full of joy and laughter.
Yes, sir.
A place of security, where games can be played, where fun can be had. But we also want it to be so secure that even in the hard times, and there will be tough times, they will still be secure in their love for each other and your love for them. Hold them safe. We commit them to you, as we ask you to use them for the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, don't go away.
Okay.
Mark, give me a hand. Good man. Mark, come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, and on behalf of this church, I declare you inducted to the pastorate of this church and congregation. As you lead the people of God and care for them, as you serve and pray for this community, may the Lord richly bless and sustain you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
You're in.
Well, that's it, Mark. You're here. Folk, this is the time when we just invite other church leaders to say a word if they would like. And it's a great joy to have James and Bill here from Purley Baptist today. And, of course, Peter Nichols, who is from St. Nick's, our kind of sort of sister or brother church, whatever it is, Anglican church just across the way, and with whom we've worked with
for years. So if there are any church leaders that would like to say a word to Mark and to the church, please feel free to do so. If you feel that you'd like your voice to be amplified, please feel free to come to the microphone.
So, Mark, on behalf of St. Nicholas Church up on the hill, it's a pleasure to welcome you to Godstone. And as Ivan has said, build on the foundation of many years of working together that our churches have had, so that we might regard our two church communities more as partners than as rivals. Yes. Of course, we've already had the chance to welcome you at the service on the green just before the fete, sneaking you in before you're officially through the door. But welcome again, and I'm sure we will have plenty to work together in the months and years to come. Thank you.
Well, Mark, I've said thank you to you several times, but it's good to say thank you to you on behalf of Purley Baptist Church in front of your new congregation and new church family. We're so grateful for everything that you've done at Purley. I don't suppose even you can remember all of it. It's been long, it's been fruitful. We're very grateful to you. And I try to pray for all the staff at the church faithfully, and I'll commit to continuing to pray for you, even though you're not on our church staff. And I know many of the other members of Purley Baptist will be praying for you as well as you settle down here. You've got a good egg in Mark and a good family to go with him. And I think you already know that. And my appeal to you as a church is please support him. Encourage him. He's not perfect. I mean, I don't know why you're laughing, because that's true of all of us, isn't it? But sometimes I think there can be a sort of progress whereby churches are full of joy to have a new minister, and then when they start spotting the minister's flaws, things can, you know, deteriorate a little bit. I mean, I'm really asking of you that you are a mature congregation in how you treat him and his family. Don't expect perfection. And remember that churches tend to get the ministers they deserve. God bless you.
Just want to echo what my pastor said. Hebrews, isn't it? Hebrews 13 says, pray for your leaders. And then it goes on to say, and this is the way you should pray for them, that their work will be a joy and not a burden. So how's that for support? And I believe that's the support you will get here. I've known this church over quite a while. My first involvement was with Martin Hatfield. Remember him, right? I was the Spurgeon's link person for him. And then Ben, who went off down to the south coast. So it's a joy for me to come back to share with my friend Mark. And he's become a friend, I think, because heart to heart, I really appreciated in the early days the sincerity with which he spoke, and the earnestness with which he put over God's word, and that evangelistic heart to reach people with just simple, clear truth. And now, Mark, he's moving you on, and how graciously he's moved you from one place to the other with that little introduction from the coffee shop. He's like that, I've found, when he's at work, and when we're prepared to follow him as well. And so this is now where you grow up from... no longer Purley's sort of third in line, or whatever we should think about it as the youth minister. And God's going to grow those gifts and your personality and prepare you for all that he's got in store. not only for this life, but for those of us who are a bit older, in the age to come.
Is anybody else, church leaders? I don't know if there are any. Okay. Well, folk, we're going to just have one worship song now, so I'm going to hand over to Ben and the team, and then I'll come back just to introduce Mike. Okay.
Cheers. I was reflecting on, it's really strange seeing Mark being asked the questions. I've seen him do so many weddings and baptisms and things like that. And I guess my prayer for you guys is that he's able to do those here. And you'll be able to see him, baptize people in this building, marry people in this building. As it's certainly been a real blessing for us at Purley for you to be involved in that way. If you'd like to stand, that would be great.
Well, thank you to Peter Nichols and James Collins and Bill just for coming up and encouraging Mark and us in that way. I'm not going to be up here again. I'm going to allow the other people to close the service. So I just wanted to say that after this induction ceremony, you're all most welcome to join us for refreshments in the hall at the back. And just want to thank... Yeah. Mark would like you to know that there's lots of cake. Okay. I think Mark likes cake, from what I know of him. Just to say thank you to one of our leaders, Adrienne, for a tremendous amount of work she's done in preparing for today and the cakes and so on. And now, folk, it's my pleasure to welcome, and forgive me for not welcoming you earlier, Mike, but to welcome Reverend Mike Thornton, who Mark has mentioned earlier, and who is going to do the reading and the prayer, and I'll allow him and Ben to close the service. God bless you all, and thank you again for coming.
Reading, I'll be preaching as well, so hold on to your seats. And just when you thought you were ready for refreshments, the hope of cake, there's a note on my door that says, where there's cake, there's hope. And that's where we are today. And I know we get to this point in the service, and everyone thinks, he's inducted, we can all go and have cake. And you've got to sit through a sermon. Well, the good news is it won't be too long, okay? That's my promise to you. The other thing that's quite interesting is that Mark invited me to preach here today, and we met about an hour ago, face to face. We hadn't actually met face to face until that point. We've met on Zoom for the last, actually nearly 18 months it's been, Mark, that we've met on Zoom. And Mark said to me just before the service started, he said, be kind to me, won't you? Well, what's the point? He's already inducted now. Okay, I found it really interesting, Stuart, that you said gunpowder originated round here, and my reading is a bit explosive today. And that's why I need to preach after it, to explain why I've chosen explosive reading. And it's from Ezekiel. It's from Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you are living amongst a rebellious people. Well, let's keep going. Hold on. They have eyes to see, but do not see, and ears to hear, but do not hear, for they are a rebellious people. Are you encouraged? Stay with me. Therefore, son of man, pack your belongings for exile, and in the daytime, as they watch, set out and go from where you are to another place. So is this for Godstone or is this for Purley? Stay with me, both of you, okay. Perhaps they will understand though they are a rebellious house. And then from verse 11 it says this, say to them, I am a sign to you. As I have done, so it will be done to them. They will go into exile as captives. Verse 19, this is what the sovereign Lord says about those living in Jerusalem and in the land of Israel. They will eat their food in anxiety and drink their water in despair, for their land will be stripped of everything in it because of the violence of all who live there. The inhabited towns will be laid waste, and the land will be desolate. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Wow, that's a strong word, isn't it? That's a strong word. And my reason in choosing it is not because I know anyone from Purley particularly, although I do know you, Andrew Coleman. And not particularly because I know anyone from Godstone, but I know you, Terry and Heather. But because it's the context into which Mark's coming as a preacher that I bring that. And I'll unpack that in just a little while, briefly, for you. It's powerful, though, isn't it? Isn't it a powerful word? When I read that scripture again recently in my quiet time, it kind of hit me like someone had punched me. It was such a strong word. So we're so used to taking comfort from God's word and forget that it can be an enormous challenge to us as the people of God, to the world around us. A message of hope, absolutely, but also a message of challenge. And sometimes as preachers, Mark, we have to bring a word of challenge as well as a word of hope, both in season. And people of Godstone, I say this to you, as Mark comes to you to bring God's word, I'm glad you're both serious about God's word. It's in Mark's profile. It's in your profile. You want the word of God to speak life into not just this community, but the wider community. Let it speak. And let the man of God that has been brought by God to you speak without fear or favor. And sometimes that's going to be an enormously encouraging word that will build you up. And sometimes it's going to be a word that hits you like a brick wall and says, wake up. We need to be relevant for today. And that means that this might have to change. Will you manage it? Comforting words. I bet it woke you up when I was reading it. Abraham Lincoln once said, if all the people who fell asleep in church on Sunday morning were laid out end to end, they would be a great deal more comfortable. What a wise man he was. I'm sure you're not going to fall asleep during Mark's preaching here. There's a story of a vicar who was taking a small boy round his church, introducing him to the memorials on the walls. These are the names of those who died in the services. The boy asked, did they die in the morning service or the evening service? None of that here. But I'm going to ask you, it will eventually be a serious question. Do you have a pet? Anyone got a pet? Do we like pets? Yes. Yes, absolutely. We got a new puppy today. Oh, I'm really excited. Can't wait to go and see it and see how clean my house still is. We had rabbits about 6 months ago, and we were very keen on having rabbits. Not these rabbits. I went to watch television. Do you remember when Prince Philip died? They put his funeral on the television. I thought, all right, I'm going to sit down and watch that. Turned on the telly, nothing. They've bitten through the aerial cable. Those rabbits aren't in our house anymore. But we got a puppy. We shall see. Do you have a pet? Well, do you know, sometimes people have pet Bibles. Do you know what I mean? people keep their Bibles as pets. They usually sit very, very cozily on the bedside table. Every night they fondle its pages, they read a favorite verse or two to comfort and relax them before they go to sleep. Well, it's not a bad thing in and of itself. But if all that is, if that's all that constitutes our relationship with God, and if that's all the impact that God's word has on us, then we've missed out a great deal, haven't we? Because God's word speaks deeply into our lives to bring transformation in our lives and in our communities. And as God's messenger, as God's preacher, Mark, you're going to be the man that's opening God's word and bring the fullness of that word to God's people, to bring transformation, whole life discipleship, not just petting and stroking our Bibles, reading that comfortable verse as we go to sleep, but a word that speaks deeply into our lives. A BU president spoke a few years ago and warned about the assembly, the assembled masses of the Baptist Union of Great Britain, about domesticating their ministers, taming the prophetic for the benign comfort of the familiar face and voice. And it's my prayer that as Mark comes here to Godstone, that yes, he'll fit in. Yes, he'll bring that comfort and that engagement with you that you've desired and that you've spotted so far in Mark being amongst you. He's a very personable man. But he's also going to be the man of God that brings a challenge. Don't domesticate him. Don't mold him into something that he's not meant to be. May he not be so molded by Godstone Baptist Church that he loses that prophetic edge. May he instead bring that prophetic edge to the ministries of Godstone Baptist. That's my prayer for you, Mark, that you handle the word of God with integrity, with honor, with humility, but with boldness, proclaiming God's truth to a world that needs it, doesn't it? I think we've become really aware of that, particularly after the last 18 months when so many of our comfort blankets have been pulled from underneath us. Mark's starting a ministry here, and I'm delighted he is. I very much feel that this is God's man for this place, God's family for this place. It has been an interesting journey with Mark. I remember that conversation when we first met on Zoom. Said, you know, I'm in youth ministry for the long haul. Well, he did do a long haul, let's be honest. I mean, he did a fair few years in youth ministry, and that's wonderful. And it was just my privilege to walk with him and just open that environment where God could speak into his life. It wasn't my agenda to pluck him away, but it was God's. And I had a sense that Spirit was doing a work deeply in your life at that time, Mark, that he is continuing and will see through to fruition. And that's exciting. That's exciting. Do you know, I'm really excited for you guys. Wonderful to have him. It went through my mind. I wonder if I could get Mark at Epsom Baptist Church. Well, that wasn't to be. That wasn't God's plan. And so we look forward to what is coming in the future. I did say I was going to be brief, didn't I? So I better keep to my word. I have been to inductions where the preacher has been less than brief. I was at James's induction at a previous church, not Purley. And the esteemed colleague who spoke at his induction then, yeah, I think he had 10 points, didn't he? It was quite significant. Yeah, we all did. So I'm not going to do that. You know, it's a one-point sermon today. Just a word of encouragement to everyone. Encourage Mark, stand by him, allow him to be God's voice in this place. And I think that will richly bless you all. I can see Mark growing in stature as the Spirit fills him for the next challenge. I see this church growing. I don't necessarily mean numerically, that will probably happen, but growing in maturity, growing in its strength of witness to the community around. I know there's a good history here. If Sproley was here, there must be a great history here, even though I'm a Brentford fan. And we're higher than Crystal Palace at the moment. Just thought I'd mention that. First time in 74 years, but you know, we're there. Do pray for you all, and for Crystal Palace. And just pray that this will be a time of growth for you all. Shall we pray? Almighty God, thank you so much that you are that faithful God. We can sing those words in that last song, that we've known your faithfulness all our lives. And Lord, sometimes that's through the downs as well as the ups of life. It's through the challenges. Sometimes it's especially through the challenges that we know your faithfulness. But here in Godstone Baptist on this Saturday, this wet Saturday afternoon, we stand here with warm hearts. We stand here in expectation, Lord, that you're going to move powerfully in this place. And so we do pray your blessing on Mark and his family. We pray your blessing on the congregation here. We pray your blessing on the community that will hear words of truth and life through the ministry of this church. And we pray your blessing on all of us as we return to our different expressions of God's church, that we would know your faithfulness. Today, tomorrow, and until you come. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it just leaves for me to say one final blessing. But first of all, thank you to Ben and Ali and Diane Kevin for doing such great music for us today. Thank you, Mike. You were very kind. Thank you, Stuart, and thank you, Ivan, for leading us through this afternoon. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for that explosive word. We ask your blessing upon us, that you would fill us afresh by your Spirit. Thank you that you are the God who walks with us, who loves to be with us. May we know your presence as we leave here today, the explosive presence in our lives. Thank you for meeting with us. May we be an example now to all those that we meet. So we pray your blessing upon us as we leave this place, as we enjoy refreshments and cake. Would you fill us up? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. And if you want to come through to the hall behind here, then we would love for you to stay.